God's playbook and knowing your position. How important is having a plan? In our Christian walk, I call it God's playbook. It tells us how we are to accomplish the tremendous task God gave us when we joined His team. In a team, there has to be a leader to show the way. In our case, we have the Son of God, Jesus, who gave us an example of how we should live. In Luke 9:23, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." His apostles wrote our playbook with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We call it the Holy Bible. Many of you are football, basketball, or other sports fans. Most sports teams have playbooks that show where each player should be and what they should do. As a result, each team member knows their moves and what moves their teammates should make. To follow Jesus, you must know your position and understand that you are part of God's team. John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." As Christians, we're all given positions, ministries, gifts, and talents that make up our calling in God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is our playbook. The church and our country are in bad shape because we're not following God's playbook. Instead, we have decided that attending church and paying our tithes is all God requires. God chose to trust us with free will, and we can either do His will or not. However, God has a playbook and desires to write plays according to our gifts, talents, personalities, and calling in Him. He has a job for us to do. So you must answer the question, do you want to be in the game or sitting on the bench and watching others do your job? Works do not save you, but you cannot believe without acting on your beliefs. As James points out, works are the evidence of your faith in Jesus. You must find your position in God. We must know how we are to serve Christ. We're given the mind of Christ and made partakers of His divine nature. Apostle says, "Your divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." 2 Peter 1:3-4. As an athlete, you must know what you are capable of before making great plays and what you are capable of in Christ. Scripture tells us that we're not only conquerors in Him, from Romans 8:37, but He will lead us in victory always, 2 Corinthians 2:14. And most important is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. We do not play our position in our fear of making mistakes or being embarrassed. But these scriptures define our position in Christ's team. It is not what we can do for God based on that. The playing field is wide open. All things are possible. You must know God's purpose and will in the world today. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." We must know the game plan and how it will end. Whatever our position is, it will center on God's plan and purpose. Therefore, knowing his game plan is vitally important. You need to study and pray to understand what his game plan is. God has a definite plan. Yes, Jesus will build a church so strong that even the gates or the authority of hell would not be able to change it. He will establish his authority and rule the church. Matthew 16:18. He plans for all the earth to be filled with his glory. His plan will be fulfilled in us who believe. The church, as the body of Christ, will manifest great glory throughout all the earth. The church will grow in its fullness of his glory until it reaches the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. Then God will conform us to his image. That's in 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, and Ephesians 4:13. In Matthew 24:14, it says, "We're to preach the gospel to all the nations as a witness." That's our primary objective. Jesus will establish his truth in the church, the pillar and ground of all truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Our Savior will have a great army that shall reclaim and restore all lost in the fall, from Joel 2:2-11. The King of Kings will establish righteousness on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:10. God's purpose and perspective must fill our hearts. God calls us for his purpose. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." God's desire for each of us is for our eyes to be open so we can see and understand our calling. He calls us to fulfill his divine purpose, not our earthly desires. Athletes need to learn the game plan to execute the plays correctly. So likewise, we must get to know God and his game plan to be perfectly positioned as he calls upon us to complete our task. Daniel says in Daniel 11:32, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Young David was an example when he took on Goliath. He saw things from God's perspective. He was a giant to men, but nothing to God. So David said, "Who is this Philistine that he should defile the armies and defy the armies of God?" We must have a heart of faith and expectancy. We must believe God can empower us. Jesus taught his disciples to have faith and to believe all things are possible to those who believe. It is true, even amid difficult times, they learn to serve God with all their heart. Matthew 9:23, "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes. We should expect God to move in our lives supernaturally. Therefore, you must have faith, expectancy, and commitment to be used by God supernaturally. When football players line up on the scrimmage line, they're not standing there with their arms folded, waiting for something to happen. Instead, they hunch down in an aggressive posture, acutely aware of every move around them, waiting in expectancy to execute the play. As Christians, we must position ourselves to respond to the divine appointments God wants to bring our way. Or, are you standing around waiting and wondering if God will ever use you? He will use anyone willing. So if you're going to see God at work, make yourself available. If you're in the battle, you'll get wounds and disappointments. Just like athletes, you will get hurt from time to time. You can recover most of the time quickly. But be aware, evil men have beheaded some of our brothers and sisters. As a result, we may face great hardships in sharing the gospel in the future. If we fail to do our job while it is easy, what will happen when it becomes hard to serve Christ? Unfortunately, you cannot go through life and ministry without a few dings on your spirit. You will face trials, and those trials will try to steal your passion and joy. If you lose your passion, you will also lose your sense of purpose and destiny. We care less about finishing the race and are no longer positioned for God to move in our lives the way He desires. We tend to settle into existence as Christians rather than to walk a walk of faith. We must overcome that mentality, that attitude. God ordained us for a purpose. To reach that purpose, we must fight hard. Paul said that his goal was to finish the race. But unfortunately, he got bunged up a lot, probably more than any of us will ever begin to experience. However, he did not give up the race and kept going until his life's end. He rejoiced in all God was doing. Do you see things as God does? Does your view of life allow you to continue in God's purpose and destiny? Sometimes the circumstances of life rage against you. Look at Peter. Peter had a reason to wallow and sulk in his misery and defeat. He denied the Lord, not just once, but three times, while the Lord looked right at him. After denying the Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. His spirit was severely wounded. Yet we see Peter as the one who came forth powerfully. He made one play after another from God's playbook with vision and purpose. Peter was continually perfectly positioned when divine appointments came his way. God used Peter to usher in the New Testament church's birth. Peter's first sermon netted over 3,000 converts. Amid persecution and mockery, he powerfully stood up to the religious leaders. Angels delivered him from a prison. As Peter's shadow touched someone, Jesus healed him. We can also note that Peter was the first of the disciples to raise someone from the dead. Peter was used to open the door to the Gentile believers. Rome crucified him upside down for his testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he blew it once, in a while, he finished his course with faith and passion. Have you allowed your wounds and disappointments to take you out of the game? You must make every effort to follow God's plan. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. God wants to do great things in your life. So put on the armor of light and be about your Father's business. He wants to use and bless you more than you can comprehend or imagine. Today, Christ's call to all of us is to get back into the game. The Bible shows us what He expects of us and the blessings. We have examples to live by, examples that are given to us by the apostles and the price they paid. Should we do less than they did? I think not. Let's get in the game.